Hello, everyone. I am your host, Aaron Makem. You are listening to the Sci-Fi Dig podcast, and I'm going to do something a little bit different this week. I'm going to tell you about a book. I am a huge fan of audiobooks, and I still read paper, or I still read books with words, whether digital or otherwise, but not very often because I am so busy. And honestly, I know people think this is weird, but when I run, I listen to audiobooks. I know some people, I mean, listen to music sometimes too, but people think that's weird for some reason. They're like, I just really can't get going if it's an audiobook, it's not music. Well, music doesn't really get me pumped up. I mean, it does, but not any more than getting lost in a book. Because I mean, running is just one foot in front of the other, right? It's not really that complicated. So if I get lost in a story, then I just push even harder, you know, try to get a bit better time and whatnot. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I'm an Audible subscriber, have been for a while now. And so I like to branch out with audiobooks. Surprisingly enough, there's a lot of nonfiction books out there that you would not think that would be good listens, right? But you're wrong. They're I thought the same way. And then I found myself getting lost in some of the nonfiction stuff. Now, I find history books to be a little difficult because trying to remember the dates and everything like that can be a little complicated at times. But if I find a book about one particular subject, and I can really get engrossed in it, and I find the information usually pretty fascinating, and then it kind of requires me to do a little more research, because if it's something I really get into or want to know more about, then I have to remember. A lot of time I'll pause and take notes. What I normally do is if I'm somewhere, usually not running, but if I'm like at work or something listening to it, I just hurry up and screenshot it. And I screenshot the time, and then I just roll back to that and figure out what I wanted to remember and then write it down, unless I have a pencil and paper handy. That's kind of how I do it. So there's a little helpful hint, a little life hack there if you're trying to figure something out or trying to remember something, because I have to do that a lot because my memory, not what it used to be. So the book that I came across, and I wanted to try it, and I was like, I'm gonna give it a whirl. I'm gonna take a chance. And it's funny because you get so many credits, and I think that when I got this one, it was on sale, and I think I just paid for it. Because I was out of credits and I was saving them for something else. I usually find myself listening to multiple books in a series. And so if I really get caught up in it, I end up buying one after the other, which may or may not be good. Because sometimes if you listen to four or five books about the same topic and the same characters, if there's not a huge change in what's going on, sometimes you can find yourself getting kind of bored with it. And so I kind of like to change it up a little bit. So the book that I got, and this was around Halloween time, so it was clearly a good time. It's called Chainsaw Confidential, and it's narrated by Gunnar Hansen, and it was written by him as well. And he played Leatherface in the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I was like, I'd like to know more about this. Now, my only complaint about the book is I really wish it was longer. I really wish that there was more information about the sequel films, which I realize he wasn't necessarily involved with. But what I got about the first film was really interesting stuff. The movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, was one of those movies that I saw when I was younger. And it was the early 80s. And in the early 80s, the great thing about horror movies when you were a young boy was that there were a lot of boobs in them. And that was great because, well, who doesn't love boobs, right? But there was a lot of boobs in them. And so, like, you would watch a movie and you're like, yeah, it could be scary, or it could be, you know, but there'd be boobs, and so you'd be cool with it. So this is one of those movies where I thought, it's called Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, it's got, even back then, with the massacre in the title, I was like, this is going to be some kind of, like, you know, serial killer kind of thing, and it's going to be campy and weird, and yeah, there's going to have to be some boobs in it somewhere. And man, I was wrong. But I remember watching it and watching the scene in the van where they pick up the hitchhiker, and I thought, this movie's weird. Like, I don't know what's going on, but it's weird. And just the way that people were acting was already making me nervous. And then I remember watching the film and just being blown away by it. It was just there was so much tension the whole time you're watching the movie. And I remember the movie, I was like, man, that movie was so bloody and so gory. And then I went back and watched it again many years later, and I'm like, that movie is not bloody and gory at all. They just made it seem like that because it was so, there was so much tension in the way they put everything together. And listening to this book, it was interesting, like some of the things that happened, again, is one of those things where this could have been a commentary. Some of the things that happened in the movie that were accidents are now like iconic moments. And like when Leatherface first shuts the steel door in the house, it was the way he did it was not the way it was supposed to be done. And so it seemed it was a much bigger deal, you know. There are things at the end where he's chasing a girl with a chainsaw. Those of you who haven't seen the original movie, I highly recommend it. I know that it's not your typical horror film. I know some people don't like horror films. They don't like gore and stuff like that. I swear it's not that gory. If you go back and watch it, I mean, there's not hardly any blood at all. It's just the way it's put together is just amazing. But so he goes in the background of that. He goes in the background of like how they came together, how they wrote it and everything. He talks about how everybody thinks it's based on a true story because it does say that in the beginning, but it's not. They made it all up. How people will write and say that, they'll write and say that it is based on a true story. They knew those people and yada, yada, yada. It's all very fascinating. It's something that happened before the internet, you know, before, you know, Blair Witch, things like that, where people had an idea in their head that this was all real and they knew these people. And the whole mysticism that has risen up around the film, I find that part of it kind of fascinating, but majority of the book is just about the making of the film, what they had to do, what happened. It talks about the money, how they kind of got ripped off as far as getting paid for the movie. Their residuals were not what they were supposed to be. And he talks a bit about himself, about how he tried to distance himself from that and then realized that there wasn't a reason for that and embraced it. And so the whole book is, you know, for considering that this was a movie that they made in I can't remember how many weeks, but it really impacted Gunnar's life. And I found that part of it very interesting. You know, you do this one thing and it took years to take off. You know, it took a couple of years before it became a huge, huge thing. And then it really has an impact on your life. And you think that these like 12 weeks or 16 weeks or whatever out of your life is not going to be that big of a deal. And here it turns out to something that, you know, really makes a mark. And that's kind of what he talks about in the book. I highly recommend it. If you listen to an audio, it's under 8 hours. But I cannot recommend this book enough, especially if you like films, if you're into like that sort of thing, like the background of films. I mean, there's a lot of books I read about the making films and about certain characters. I love Bruce Campbell's first book when he talks about Evil Dead. That is probably my number one in this area. Number two would probably be like Star Trek Memories and Star Trek Movie Memories, which were also very fascinating. I should get those on audio. I think they're available on audiobook. I should probably get those on audiobook. I have the hardcovers, bought them when it came out and read them like in 2 days. But I wouldn't mind revisiting that. But again, as you get older, time gets at a premium. You're not going to be on this earth very much longer. So I try to take advantage of every waking opportunity to listen to something new and try to expand my mind a little bit, even if I have to revisit something. Because like I said, my memory is not what it used to be. So that's the name of the book. That's not the name of the book. The name of the book is Texas Chainsaw Confidential. Chainsaw Confidential. I keep wanting to call it Texas Chainsaw Confidential, but just Chainsaw Confidential by Gunnar Hansen. It came out in 2013. I highly recommend it. It's just a really good listen. It'd be a really good read as well. I'm getting the background on all of this. I do not have a box set this week to talk about, but I wanted to talk about a couple of other quick topics here. You know, I always talk about streaming versus physical media, et cetera, et cetera. I think one of the things that has really grown exponentially and gained a much wider audience because of streaming is anime. Anime is very expensive on disc still. Like, a Blu-ray set can run you upwards of $50 to $60 of a season of something. And especially if it's just currently, you know, come out and fairly new, even though the show might be older, it's kind of expensive. So there's a lot of different streaming services out there. I have a streaming account with Funimation because there's a couple series on there I enjoy, and it's relatively inexpensive. It's like $6 or $7 a month. The only thing that they don't do is they don't allow downloading, which kind of sucks because their streaming needs a little bit of work because it doesn't seem like there's even like any kind of buffering with memory. If you know, like a lot of streaming services, even though they don't allow downloading, it seems as though they at least allow a little bit to buffer. And like I said, I'm in a rural area, so my internet is not the best, and I have some issues with that off and on. But the other service that that also is being known, I mean, obviously Crunchyroll, everybody knows Crunchyroll, but VRV launched, AT&T owns it, and they have Crunchyroll and Funimation. And the reason that I ended up getting Funimation was because, for whatever reason, there must be a clash there. One of the shows that somebody was watching in the house was One Piece. I never really loved the show, but I tell you what, I love the manga. The manga is great. But if you went to VRV, you couldn't watch the subtitle or the dubbed ones. You can only watch the subbed ones because that's the ones Crunchyroll had, even though Funimation had the dubbed ones. And for whatever reason, it wouldn't allow you to do that. Well, I recently found out that Sony bought VRV. And the problem was it pulled a whole lot of anime, or Funimation pulled a whole lot of anime off of there. I got that backwards. Sony bought Funimation, and so all the anime was pulled off of VRV that Funimation was offering. And my point of this is, I'm just giving another example. I'm not trying to say like pros or cons. I'm not trying to say that streaming is negative. I just like to point out these things can happen, and it's kind of in defense of physical media in a lot of ways. But say you paid for a year of VRV, and then suddenly, or if you're part of AT&T's current phone plan is you can get a premium account and you get one premium station. You can get like HBO or VRV or a couple. There's a couple other things out there. Those are the two that I know, because if I was going to get it, those are the two I would get. But so if you got VRV through them and it didn't allow you to change, you're stuck with it. You didn't have the opportunity to say, oh, well, now the network that was supposed to be on here is no longer here, and this is mostly what I watch, so I want to change or whatever. If you bought a year's worth of VRV, then I'm not exactly sure if you'd be able to get a refund for the remaining months or not, how they would do that. And considering how DirecTV, which is owned by AT&T, prorates stuff, you'd probably get screwed, because I canceled my DirecTV, and I had it for one day. I actually had it for 14 hours past the billing date, and it cost me like $27 for those hours. That's what they took off the refund they gave me. So who knows? Who knows how that would work out? But I just like to point out that this is one of the reasons that I still like physical media, because I don't have to worry about who owns it. You know who owns it? I do. And I can watch it when I want to watch it because it's mine. And that's kind of how that works, you know. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and just, you know, mention that in passing, because I just found out this information. I know I have a friend of mine who got the AT&T plan and got VRV just for the Funimation stuff, and now suddenly is no longer able to access it. And that kind of stinks, you know. You kind of got screwed on that one. The other thing I'm going to talk about is, there's a lot of shows they're based on comic books, right? A lot of stuff. There's just, if you went down the list, I started to try to compile a list in my mind, and it's just, and I don't even know half of it, of what's out there. There are so many shows based on comics I haven't read, and comics that I don't even know exist. And I find out later on the show is based on it. But it shows you the wide range of topics that comics cover. And I've always said this all along on the show. If you're not reading comics, you're cheating yourself. There's so much good stuff out there. It's not just all capes and tights. There's so much stuff available, all genres. It's always like there's always something being developed, whether it makes it to any sort of real video or not is, you know, remains to be seen, but there's a lot of stuff being developed. And one of those shows that has really grabbed me, there's been two that really wide ranging, and it's really weird. Of all the stuff that comes out from comic books that we see, you know, you get like a Daredevil or a Luke Cage, or you get the Marvel films or the DC films, the DC animated stuff, any of that stuff. You get, you know, Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, all that stuff. It all kind of makes sense, right? It kind of fits in with the genre of comics and what's going on. It might be, and the stories might be different. The characters might be a little bit different. But overall, you can see it. You know, it makes sense. And then, you know, you can see how they went from comics to TV. It all kind of streams together. And then you come to Archie Comics, and they got these crazy shows out, like Riverdale and Sabrina, it's The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. They changed the name for Netflix. I finished Sabrina and I loved it, man. I did not see the ending coming. I loved it. I thought it was great. The actor that plays Sabrina. I did not like her in Mad Men because I just felt that her character was written poorly. All she did was whine the whole time and get very annoying. But she was great as Sabrina. She did a great job and really dug that show. Cannot wait for the next one. It had a lot of surprises. It had me, like, by episode two, it really had grabbed me. And they did a really good job for those episodes of really fleshing out that universe. And I always like when somebody makes a nice, solid universe and it all makes sense. And they play within the rules that they've established. They don't just throw something at you later on that changes everything. They did a really good job with what they had. But the show I want to talk about is definitely not in my age bracket is Riverdale. I couldn't wait for Riverdale to start when it first started. And I did enjoy season one. There's a lot of episodes that were filler episodes that kind of got bogged down and stuff, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fact that, like, it reminded me a lot of Twin Peaks, the way that certain elements went. And, like, it seemed that they did a really good job at the end of every episode of having some sort of cliffhanger that, even if the majority of the episode was kind of boring to me because, well, I'm not a teenager anymore, it still... it lent to the bigger picture, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next week. And the next week we roll around, we talk about the ending of the last week for like 3 minutes, and then we talk about our feelings for 40 minutes, and then we give me another cliffhanger. But I just kept on watching because that's how I am. However, this season, season three, is just insane. I mean, who doesn't want to live in Riverdale? They got serial killers, they got rich people, they got poor people, they have gangs, they have ghosts, they have crazy role-playing games. They have underground fight clubs. They have, I think they have one prison. I mean, it's a nutty town, just a crazy nutty town. But I am so, the show is just so much fun for so many reasons. I don't overthink it. I just kind of roll with it. They've done a good job with all the characters as far as I'm concerned. And what I like about it, I think one of the things that really lends itself to me enjoying it is that my daughter also enjoys it. And, I was telling her about it. I still can't get her to watch The Flash, though. She's killing me. I swear to God, these kids. But she watched Riverdale for whatever reason. I don't know why. Somebody at school probably talked her into it, you know. But no, she'll listen to her dad when it comes to watching The Flash. But she'll listen to somebody else. Whatever. I'm going to just have to talk to all her friends and tell them to all watch The Flash, start talking about it around her. I'm going to pay them. And then she'll have to watch it because she'll be like, what's going on with this? But she's been getting caught up on via Netflix. Well, of course, Netflix, it's not here right now until the season's over, but she is in Spain right now. So she can't get it. Netflix there obviously is different. But they went to another town or another city, I don't know how far away, and for whatever reason, Netflix is showing it there, the current season. So there was three episodes out at the time, and she texts me and says, hey, I saw the first three episodes of Riverdale. And I was like, well, how did you do that? And she's like, well, we went there and it was on Netflix. So a bunch of us liked that show. So we all downloaded it to our phone. And then on the bus ride back, we turned off all the cellular stuff on our phone so we could watch it without taking it away because we went to a different country. Obviously, Netflix changed. So that's what they did. So she got all caught up. And then my thing is that I have a DVR and I can record it and then export the file. But the files are really big. I cannot get it any smaller than what it is. Than what I can get it, which is not – it's some people that do this stuff, the torrent stuff and put up shows, the file sizes are always nice and tiny. And I can't get it that size. But what I do is I upload it to Dropbox for her, and then she can watch it. So I was like, hey, I said, I didn't know you were interested in staying current. So I'm like, uploaded the current one, which took me like 3 days to get it in Dropbox for you, so you can check it out. So she's like, well, I'm going to wait till my friend's here, her other friend that's really into the show. So when her other friend showed up, they watched it together. And this episode, I don't want to give spoilers about the content of the episode, but I like it was kind of like the Breakfast Club movie, but it's set in the 90s, and that was kind of the overall theme. And they just did such a great job with it, with the music and what they were doing. And Anthony Michael Hall was the principal, and it was just they just brought it all together. It turned out perfect. It was just a really fun episode, and it's one of those shows that I can't explain why I'm attracted to it, other than it was based on a comic, and I was curious what they were doing at the time that they brought Riverdale out. It was also the time that we were all waiting for the next issue of Afterlife with Archie, which we're all still waiting on that next issue. I think that project's dead. I know people talk about it, but come on. I mean, how many years do you need to write one issue? But I was curious because Archie was doing a big shakeup with their properties. They were trying to make more properties that were more current and up to date and things like that, and really mixing it up. They were putting out various different versions of Archie, you know, obviously not connected. You know, they had the regular Archie still going on. Then they had the one where it's kind of set now and the art's different and things like that. So, like, they have been shaking things up crazy over at Archie Comics, doing all kind of interesting things. I don't know what works, what doesn't work, but, I mean, I'm loving it. I'm loving the fact that they're willing to take the chance and do these things. And it's not like, from what I've read, it's not like they were in any kind of financial trouble. They were doing okay. I mean, with all the licensing and everything out there, I think they're doing all right. But they're really shaking things up. And so we get these two great shows, the Sabrina Show and Riverdale. And I am enjoying the heck out of both of them. I'm sorry that Sabrina's over. It was one of those shows that I was like, I'm going to start watching, see if I like it. Next thing I know, it was probably 5 days later, 6 days later, I ended up watching the entire season. So, but Riverdale is something I still watch as soon as I'm able to watch it. If so far so good, my antenna has been strong enough to record it. But if ever it dies, I can watch on the CW app. But sorry, kid, you're not going to be able to do that. So for me, it works out okay. But it's soon enough it'll be on Netflix if she misses any of it, or I can even buy it on iTunes or whatever is available. That's the one thing I do like about streaming, is that if you want to watch a show, you can watch it the next day, you can buy it. But if you're looking for an app and watch something without paying for it, CW app is the best app. They give you the entire show the next day, and it does have commercials, but not a big deal. Their streaming is also kind of sketchy. There's not any ability to download, so you're going to get that weird, if you don't have a strong sim, you're going to get that weird error that they couldn't pull any more data. But really enjoying it. Join us. I just want to talk. I mean, like, that's the whole point of this show, right? It's that, you know, we have this community where we can talk about the things that we love, and it doesn't really have to go anywhere. So it didn't really go anywhere. Just kind of sharing, maybe oversharing a little bit. Anyway, that's all I got to talk about this time. I will talk to everybody next time. This is Aaron for Sci-Fi Dig. Over and out.